Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack from Bolton Academy, also in the studio with us today.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how are you? Good to have you back in studio with us, Bill.
Good to be here.
I want to address the most recent school shooting that occurred in Colorado. This is the second major school shooting in Colorado, Douglas County, no less, Littleton area. And you remember, this is a 20-year mark since Columbine.
And most people who were in Colorado at that time can tell you to this day exactly where they were when they heard the sirens, when they heard the news report on the radio. They can tell you exactly where they were, what they were doing.
Don't minimize the pain in this. Don't minimize the fear. Don't minimize the fallout that happens. Certainly our hearts go out to those families who have been affected by this directly. I know a guy who was in Columbine at the time the shootings occurred some 20 years ago. He's still suffering to this day.
Yeah.
The mental, the psychiatric, psychological effects of that horrendous event that occurred, 20 years ago?
Yeah, my son, my oldest son, Caleb, has a friend whose daughter was at the STEM school. Mm-hmm. And when she came home, her mother said that when she picked her up at school, she had blood on her from somebody else.
Yeah.
And she said it was just, it's horrendous.
These kinds of things shake you up, not for just a week. Not just for a month, not just for a year, but
they can be
for years.
Defining moments in your life.
Well, our hats go off to Kendrick Castillo. He lost his life defending his friends in the class, threw himself between the bad guy and the other kids in the classroom. So we appreciate the bravery, the courage, the faith of this young man who was willing to throw himself over the hand grenade.
And
for the others.
It brings to mind the passage that no greater love has one than this, one laid down his life for his friends.
Mm.
This is a clear example of such an action.
Well, it occurred at the STEM school, the charter school in Douglas County. Douglas County considered, you know, one of the more upscale, safe communities. This wasn't downtown Denver. This is one of the safe communities. This is
conservative.
A charter school. Yeah, conservative, charter school. But still, sadly, still representing something of the culture. I think all schools are unsafe today, Bill. I mean, I think all of them are, given the fact that society has become increasingly materialistic, anti-supernaturalistic in its worldview.
Well, you look at what the chatter was after Columbine. The big question is, why did they do this? Why did they do this?
Mm-hmm.
And there were all kinds of theories, all kinds of ideas. But the bottom line was what you just said, and it's the worldview that was being conveyed to students.
It's not just the worldview conveyed in the classroom.
Right.
This is very important.
It's the whole culture.
That's right. That's right. The mass culture has tremendous influence, and if you follow the suspects' Facebook accounts and such, and I've done some research, inevitably, they're taking part in mass culture. It's not so much the classroom that affects them. It's their mass culture.
But, I mean, it's been said, it's been attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but it's not, you can't verify it, that philosophy in the classroom in one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next. So what is in the culture is the result of what's been happening, what's been bred into students in the schoolhouse.
And things have changed so dramatically in just the last 20 years, something Abraham Lincoln or anybody else from the previous centuries would not recognize, and that is the access they have not just to the ideas in the classroom, but the ideas that are constantly flowing through their earphones, plugged into the mass culture through their iPhones and the rest. Friends, given the fact that society has become anarchical, revolutionary, outrageously immoral, especially on the internet, and kids have free access to the bad worldviews that flow unreservedly through the internet and through their cell phones, we are not in a safe condition. And parents have every reason in the world to be more concerned about controlling the inputs that are happening with their kids. They don't need their kids sharing those iPhone, iPad influences in the playgrounds or anywhere else from their peer groups. The peer group and pop culture is exceedingly dangerous in the day in which we live. Homeschooling was certainly popular in the 1990s. In fact, I was executive director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado 20 years ago when Columbine happened. interest in homeschooling
spiked,
yeah, 400% over previous months. So I remember taking the phone calls. I remember signing people up for the intro seminars for our Christian Home Educators of Colorado intro seminars. And friends, there are way more reasons to homeschool your kids today. I'd say there is 20 times more reasons for parents to consider homeschooling their kids today than even back 20 years ago, largely because of the massive influence of popular culture. And don't forget that the bathrooms are transgendered. Homosexualization of the curriculum is for all charter schools across Colorado. And friends, you are not safe in charter schools. You're not safe in public schools. Parents have every reason in the world to be concerned and to be on their game and to realize that we have a responsibility to protect our children, to shelter them from the world as we are raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We must control their inputs. We must raise our children in such a way that we don't stumble them. Jesus said, if anybody stumbles one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea. So as parents, we have a right to be concerned. And I want to come back in just a moment and visit this CNN story. It was top billed story on Saturday concerning a mother who apparently was sending her kids to this STEM charter school. And she had huge concerns about this school back in December and registered her concerns with the school administration and was somewhat rebuffed. We're going to talk about this front page article from CNN on a concerned mother. Praise God, there are mothers, there are fathers concerned. It's time to be concerned about these things. We'll be back in just a moment for this recent broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Bill Jack also in studio with me today as we consider the concerns of parents who sent their kids to the STEM charter school that was the victim of this horrible shooting attack.
You know, Kevin, you mentioned that the amount of input from the culture is increased in the past 20 years. You know, I was just down at the University of Colorado Denver or Metro State University. They share a campus. And my goal was to interview students. Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible to find a student who is not preoccupied on the phone or on the screen or with earbuds in.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct when you say that the culture's input and influence is multiplied.
Yeah.
Because yeah. We are immersed in culture, and yet at the same time, we are alone.
Yeah, it's isolation. Yeah. So it's very dangerous, of course, to isolate yourself. And there's the book of Proverbs that warns us of a man who isolates himself has abandoned true wisdom. And the isolation of the modern age and the bad worldviews conveyed in the midst of that isolation is a double whammy from which it's hard to emerge sane from such a condition.
It is a recipe for insanity.
Yeah. It's a tough scenario now, friends, with the complete access to pop media through the internet, through iPhones and iPads and the rest. All right, so I want to look at the CNN story. It was top billed on CNN on Saturday. One of the STEM parents called the Colorado school a pressure cooker environment. Even prior to this event occurring, back in December, four or five months ago, she'd raised the issue with the school board.
Yeah, she said she was worried that, quote, a perfect storm, end quote, was brewing for, quote, something like a Columbine shooting.
That was prescient.
Yep.
She was considering something that was about to happen, and indeed it did happen. So did
the school listen to her, Kevin?
No, the school pretty much ignored her concerns. I guess they did an investigation of some sort, but they sued her. Actually, I guess they attempted a lawsuit against her, which is sad.
For what?
Defamation. For defamation, yeah. Just
for
because
defamation.
She raised these concerns, yes. Yeah. And so she apparently is back in the news and felt it was important to convey her concerns to the world through CNN, and I think this has reached other news agencies as well. But one of the things she noticed was that her child and other students at STEM school, Highlands Ranch, weren't getting enough sleep. The academic workload, she said, seemed crushing. The parent noticed kids stressing out, lashing out. She said she heard reports of violence, sexual assault, and bullying, yet school officials, she said, seemed to be ignoring the mounting problems. I'm just hitting a few of the high points or low points of this article. Also, following the investigation, organization sent a letter to parents disputing the woman's allegations and informing them that the school officials had filed a defamation lawsuit against the parent, even though they did not know her identity, which is interesting. The parent said that while there were some well-intentioned teachers, she feels the school's leadership could have done more to protect the students. Quote, did kids feel aggressive toward one another and act out that aggression that I saw? Yes. That my children experienced? Yes. That their friends experienced and told me about, that I heard about other parents, absolutely. I also feel that there was a clash of people's ideas and cultures. And indeed, that was one of the significant points that was identified in the alleged killer's Facebook account. We find this entry, "You know what I hate." Okay, so this gives you a little bit of a sense of the motivation or the thing that seemed to be increasing the pressure in the pressure cooker referred to by the parent. Here again is what he said. You know what I hate? All these Christians who hate gays. All right. So that was, now that's all over the internet today. So that's no shocker to anybody who's listening, because this particular suspect in the shooting case at STEM High School in Highlands Ranch admitted that his problem was Christians. He hated Christians. And so as this mother confesses that there was something of a clash of ideas and culture or values in this high school, I think it's no surprise to me that one of the perps or alleged perps in this attack played a part in that and himself sensed there to be something of an antithesis thesis opposition going on the campus. You know, the things that divide us, Bill, are major things. It's not just kids out in the playground arguing over whether we like Rocky Road ice cream or cookie dough ice cream. That's not the issue anymore. It's whether kids should endorse sodomy or not. Whether kids want to kill babies or not, whether we've evolved out of the cosmic slime. Now, those are more significant value differences than cookie dough ice cream. Are you with me? I mean, there's something pretty substantially different, and it doesn't surprise me that teens are not able to navigate these differences. We certainly are seeing a huge increase in pressure in these pressure cookers. And I think you can expect more violence in the years to come.
Yes. And that behooves parents, especially Christian parents, to be on guard about where they entrust their students. to whom they entrust their students to educate them, because that is their worldview. They live in that worldview 6 to 8 hours a day, and it's not going to be undone by 30 minutes of Sunday school. It's not going to be undone by sitting in a church service for an hour a week when you've got 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, 180 days a year of indoctrination into a worldview that is, as you pointed out, the antithesis of a biblical worldview.
And don't forget the Colorado legislature, and I believe the governor has just signed this.
Yes.
They have endorsed a comprehensive sex ed program for charter schools, just like this STEM Academy. And that's just recent. So expect the fire, the temperature to rise as these antinomian, massively divisive issues are going to cut into the very heart of American high schools, charter schools in the state of Colorado and around the United States. This mom also said that violence and bullying and sexual assault was happening on the campus. Now, that doesn't surprise me either, Bill, because when God's law is ignored and complete sexual autonomy is taught and encouraged by the Colorado legislature, and there's this total antinomian anarchy with this ethical worldview that is being taught, ignoring the commandments of God and so forth, of course you're going to see violence. Of course you're going to see more sexual autonomy and sexual assault and this chaos on this high school campus. You notice what happens when a society endorses homosexuality in Romans 1:27. It's very interesting. I want you to follow the flow on this one, Bill. As a Colorado government endorses and enforces a pro-homosexual position by law, as the Supreme Court of the United States has done, as of 2015 with the Obergefell case, you begin to see the fallout in your society. Listen to how it works its way out in Romans 1:27. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, and get this, of murder, full of murder, deceit, debate, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, and so forth and so on. So a society that endorses homosexuality and transgenderism, look what happens. The society's out of control. We begin to see the pressure cooker rise. We begin to see a lack of unity. We begin to see an increase in debate. We find murder. So it shouldn't be any surprise whatsoever that a society that has endorsed homosexuality, that we begin to see verses 29 and 30 kicking in our society as well, filled with murder, debate, deceit, haters of God, and so forth and so on. This is social and cultural chaos, and I think this is what we're seeing.
Yeah, because the last thing that God gives people over to is a depraved mind. They cannot think reasonably, let alone think biblically. And so you would expect to see that erupt in the centers of education where students are trained to think. There is such confusion about what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is beautiful, what is ugly. There is such confusion that students are put into, as you pointed out, a pressure cooker. And they cannot reason biblically. They cannot even reason, let alone think biblically or act biblically.
Ideas have consequences. Worldviews work their way out into the sorts of things that you read in your newspapers, friends. And we are analyzing the worldview behind what is going on in these campuses across the United States. And the worldview of the suspects, the alleged perps in this recent shooting, I think is fairly obvious. I've already mentioned the dislike of Christians, actually a hatred of Christians. So let's just use the word because that's the word that this alleged perpetrator put on his Facebook account, and also the other alleged shooter in this case was a transgendered teen.
Yeah.
Again, the mixed up teen that has lost any sense of identity. Again, these are the sorts of things that kick loose the sorts of things we find in Romans 1:30 and 31.
Yeah, because the family, her family, has been decimated, has been destroyed. Mm-hmm. The father was an illegal mm-hmm. who has been deported. And so there is just tremendous dysfunction within that family, sadly, resulting in confusion on the part of the girl as to who she is, made by her creator, and who she is in Christ. And as a result, you add to that the confusion that is perpetrated by the current educational system and the worldview that is being promoted, and it is a perfect recipe for a perfect storm.
Yeah, which is precisely what this mother had complained of back in December, according to the CNN article that we're referring to on this edition of the program. And here's one other aspect to the worldview conveyed by these young teens, and it's a nihilistic language. And I think you find this nihilistic language shot through so much of these young teens, that not just those that are perpetrating these sorts of horrible, violent actions, but you find it increasingly used by many of the teens. So when I say nihilistic language, I'm referring to the use of the F word with a nauseating frequency. You know exactly what I'm talking about here, Bill. If you go back over the Facebook entries or the ramblings of the Presbyterian kid that was accused of murder at the synagogue in San Diego, I mean, just, you know, go through the last 25 cases all the way back to Columbine, what do you find but the use of the F word with, as I said, a nauseating frequency? It's just, you don't want to be reading this stuff because right. There's, you know, they seem to be stuck like a record on one particular word, which, as we've said before, is pretty much the most obvious representation of a nihilistic philosophy. That is, you finally come down to one word that is self-destructive and destructive at every single level. And this word is being used constantly by these young folks. And I think at the point at which there's no real respect for human nature or for the human made in the image of God, there's just not respect. And it's always a reference to sexual attack language
right. Used
against others. Certainly, it is about the worst form of disrespecting the image of God that I could ever imagine, that humans could ever come up with. And that's the kind of language being used by the media. That's the kind of language being used by PG-13 R-rated movies. That's the kind of language being used by the music that they're piping into their brains. And it's not healthy at all. And by the way, the attack occurred in the British literature class. And I think that's interesting as well, because modern literature and classic literature is so filled with this kind of nihilism, a tragedy, and increasing levels of self-conscious, self-destructive, nihilistic language. I think of J.D. Salinger, who wrote a book called The Catcher in the Rye, which is typically considered to be one of the most important classics in the postmodern destructive age that we live in today. And he introduced the F word. And, of course, it was a little bit controversial in the 1960s, but today it's, you know, that would be one of the less concerning forms of literature in your average high school classroom today.
Right.
But John Steinbeck was more so taken up with the GD word. I think he used that 180 times in Of Mice and Men. But these are the classics. These are the classics, and they are the leaders that inculcate this nihilism, this purposelessness, this meaninglessness, this use of language in which we utterly destroy one another who were made in the image of God with the purpose of glorifying God. The classic literature like this is just sick, nihilistic hopelessness, and it reinforces a hopelessness concerning man's condition. And there are students that act on this, and they work out a nihilism because they consider themselves to be nothing but cosmic dust in a meaningless world. And there is no purpose for their lives and no purpose for anybody else's life. So they turn to violence.
Yeah. Language matters because language conveys the ideas. And the ideas result in action. Yeah. And that's what we see.
They're just working out their perspectives, their ideas, their worldviews And one other point that I think we should draw from this mother's concerns is that the students weren't getting enough sleep. She said the academic workload seemed crushing, and the parents noticed kids stressing out and lashing out. You know, this heavy academic approach, oftentimes rooted in human pride, is not very healthy. The Christian approach to education, first of all, places it in the rubric of the parents. The parents have jurisdictional authority, and the direction, according to Ephesians 6:4 and Deuteronomy 6:7, is parents, you bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Christian approach at root is not pride, but humility, the fear of God, and faith. And I think that's really key because, you know, faith is the issue. I think of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This comes back to me again and again. It's a reminder that it's not about us going out there and rush, build with our own power and with our own strength. What we want to teach our children is not this tiger mom form of academics where we're always shaming them for what they're not getting done or for what they're not understanding, but encouraging them to faith. Encouraging them to prayer, encouraging them to rely upon Christ.
Yeah, not to provoke them.
Yeah, not to provoke them, but to bring them up with the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I like to use the example of the apostles, the disciples, who are busy rowing as hard as they could all night long while Jesus was up in the mountains praying. He takes a saunter across the water, gets in the boat, and we read, immediately, they're on the other shore. So this rowing 101 business, this science 101, this algebra 101, involves a great deal of prayer and faith. We're teaching faith in the boat. We're teaching prayer in the boat. We're teaching relying on Jesus in the boat. We're not as concerned with teaching them how to factor trinomials as much as we're teaching them how to trust in God and pray to Jesus in the algebra classroom.
And so, that's where it comes back to what you touched on earlier, and that is the issue of jurisdiction. And what's happened here, and this mother who sounded the alarm inadvertently, maybe unconsciously, realized that her jurisdiction as parent was being usurped by the state. She is responsible for the well-being of her children. She is responsible for the education. She's responsible for the nurturing. And she saw that somebody had stepped in, usurped her authority, and was not doing the job that should have been done. Now you can assign authority, but you cannot abrogate responsibility as a parent. And parents should be ever diligent as to who is pouring into their children's minds, into their students' minds, what they're pouring in. And so, once again, when jurisdiction gets out of balance, and that's the case here where the state has assumed that education is within their jurisdiction, within their purview, not the parents, then you will see more and more instances of things out of whack like this.
Well, my friends, as we consider the most fundamental questions of them all on these critical, critical matters of the education of our children, ask the question, is there a fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge? If you are delegating any part of the education of your children to anybody, you need to be concerned with the beginning of knowledge. If you ignore the beginning of knowledge, if the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom in the science classrooms at STEM Charter School is not the fear of God, run. Run away. Run away. Because if the fear of God is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, then how are the children going to treat each other? Then how are they going to act upon the knowledge that they receive? If there is pride but no humility, if there is pride but no fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, there's no discipleship in faith, then get out and get your kids out today. Christian education is 180 degrees different from public charter schools, the classical humanist approach. Christian education, completely different in method, in content, in everything. Because Christian education is Christian discipleship. It's raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It is as different from the public schools as white and black, as death and life. I encourage you to our little book, Family Life, which introduces, well, just about everything about the Christian family and contrasts it with the other approach. But friends, what is it to have a Christian family? A family discipleship, a family-based education, a family-based culture. All of these things critical. A family-based economy. These are the things we need to bring back in a world that has lost its way, especially in the raising of our children. Get a copy of Family Life at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.